Okay, thank you. Well, I'm sitting here in Munich in Germany, and I'm wishing all of you a very happy day. Just let me check that, if I got that off. Yeah. And I would very much like to talk to today also a little privately about my own recovery experience. I'm 57 now, and I I don't know, from the age of end of 30 on or something like that, I developed this MS, this nervous disease, and for many years I could hardly walk, and I would need walking canes to get around, or otherwise I would be sitting in a wheelchair, and many things that I had tried professionally had sort of gone down the drain, and somehow I was an actor, and I felt somehow I couldn't really make a success in that profession anymore. And I was also a breath therapist. I had done a 3-year education in breath therapy, and I was working with that too, but all of a sudden I just couldn't go on working with that anymore, because I felt so very ill, and I was in really heavy depressions, and I had actually all my life tried to get in contact again with the dear Lord, and every once in a while I had failed a little something of him, but it wasn't really anything steady, anything that I felt I can really rely on. And so I was really looking for help, and I went all over the place. And here in Munich, we have quite a lot of people who are giving satsangs, and we have Buddhist teachers coming every once in a while, too, from Tibet and so forth and so on. And I read a lot, and I heard many wise people talk, but somehow this didn't really get me out of my depression. And breathing didn't get me out of my depression either. And I was just so fed up with this disease, and I felt so uneasy when I walked hunched around through in the streets with these walking sticks, having the impression that everybody was looking at me and thinking whatever about me. And so in this time of really, I could really call it sort of a desperate search for truth, for light, for the divine, I came across A Course in Miracles again. And there was a man near our place who gave little groups, and Peter, and I went there every once in a while or once a week, and people were sitting in a circle and reading in this course, and I really didn't understand a word they were talking about, or very little they were talking about. And I heard things like, I'm completely responsible for everything I see. I really did not feel like that, and I didn't understand it, and just the thought about that sounded absolutely absurd. I didn't feel I was responsible for my disease. I didn't feel I was responsible for my world. I didn't feel I was responsible for my depression. I just didn't feel that. And then one day, Peter in his apartment gave a little seminar for a Course in Miracles student and teacher from somewhere in Germany, Berlin, I think he was at that time. Michael Osterreich is his name. And I went there and heard Michael talk, and from really it was the first moment on, everything was completely different from all those other talks I had been to, where everything sort of sounded so holy, or everybody tried to be holy. Michael didn't try to be holy, he tried to be reasonable. And he talked very, very reasonable and very intelligently. And he didn't even want a certain amount of money for his seminar. It was all sort of for free. And so that was completely, completely different. And it really impressed me very much. And I listened to him very attentively, because I had the feeling there is someone finally who really he knows a way. He can talk about it, and he can distinguish what's going wrong between what's going wrong and how things can become well again, and distinguish in a very intelligent way, not just in a way of believing in the dear Lord or hoping for help, or he sort of took this, he taught me was what or through this voice that was coming through him, I learned something about my own thinking. How was I thinking? And was that anything that made me happy? And, well, it wasn't anything made me happy. It was just things that made me feel depressed and sad and angry and what have you. Well, and then after this seminar, we stayed in contact, and for several years, actually, I would, no matter how sick I was, I would go to his, or be taken by friends of his to his seminars all over Germany, in all different cities. And many times I just fell asleep and couldn't follow anymore. And many times I got angry at him, and I thought, well, it's still I haven't got it, and what's wrong there? And but anyway, somehow through this contact with Michael and his friends, I was sort of step by step diving into this great knowledge of A Course in Miracles. And then after some years, they went to the desert of Sinai and asked me to come along, and I was deadly afraid to go to the desert of Sinai because I was still so sick, and I couldn't tolerate the heat very well. But it was really the only option that I saw, because the alternative was to climb up a high building and jump down, which several times already I really had tried to end this life of mine, but hadn't had the courage, thank God, to do that. And so eventually I followed those people to the Sinai, and we were there in the Sinai in Egypt for a few weeks, and then in Israel. And when I came back, I, of course, I felt a lot better, and I could think again. I hadn't been able to think all this, all these years of depression and of disease. I hadn't been able to think one straight thought. And I was able to think again, and I was able to start giving groups again, on the Course in Miracles, and go on learning from the Course in Miracles. But then maybe 2.5 years later, I had just been in London and to give a seminar there, which was very difficult actually, because it was very hot and I still was pretty ill, but somehow it worked, and I think it worked pretty well. But as I came back, my mother had there was a message on the receiver that my mother had been taken to the hospital with a heart attack, and then I visited her and everything. But all of a sudden there was a deep fear rising from some hidden place within my mind, that what the hell, because my mother, she had a sort of a big house that I was going to inherit, and I didn't have, I was very much afraid of inheriting that and doing all those bureaucratic things that I never wanted to be confronted with, because I always, throughout my whole life, I wanted to travel lightly and not really have to worry about a house. And so this really plunged me back into another heavy depression, and I forgot everything that I had learned, and I had, in that period, I had completely overlooked the fact that I was very well aware of the moment that I decided to choose my disease. I felt like I was, oh, okay, so bye bye. I felt that I was sort of overwhelmed by this, by all these problems, and that I was not able, as a single person, to solve all these problems. And instead of confronting them, I had really, there had been this one moment in my mind where I had decided, okay, now I'm going to have MS again. It was just like a moment. But in this moment, I chose disease. I voluntarily and consciously chose to be sick again. And this, of course, this, not most strange, was that the disease was there right away. The depression was there right away. I was walking a lot. Had lots more difficulties with the walking than before. Everything felt like black and difficult and hard and sore and ill and no, with no perspective, and within a few hours. And of course, I forgot that, or sort of, I decided to forget that and shove that somewhere all the way down in the unconscious. And well, I just sort of, how should I say that? I rested in, instead of resting in God as the Course in Miracles proposes, I rested in my disease and my depression, which is a pretty stupid thing to do. But that's exactly what I did, and that lasted another, I think 2.5 years or something like that. And again, I would be searching the help of Michael Osterreich, and he would offer so much help for me, and invited me to come to there. Meanwhile, they had built up a center, a Course in Miracles center in Thüringen, in Thuringia, I think you call that in English, somewhere in the middle of Germany, former Eastern Germany. And he always said, come to our place and be with us, and we can help you. And of course I went there, and friends of his, people who lived there too, they even went all the way from, they came all the way 600 kilometers from all the way up there and picked me up in Munich and drove me all the way to this center. And then I stayed there for weeks and weeks. And still this idea that I wanted to kill myself, that I wanted to commit suicide, didn't get out of my mind. Unfortunately, or fortunately, they only had a two-story building there, and it was very, would have been a very stupid idea to jump down from there, because I would have only hurt myself or broken a leg or something. And but somehow there, it was like an inner drive. I always, even though I would be listening to his, to the talks that Michael gave, to his sessions, as he calls them, and try to concentrate on those ideas of the Course, there was this tremendous drive to really get out of this body, to get out of this world, to get out of this disease, to destroy myself. It was a very, very strong feeling, and I talked very, very little about it, because everybody, of course, if in case I would have talked about it, would have tried to give me good advice, and I wouldn't, I really didn't, I sort of wanted to keep that private. And anyway, eventually then I got a little better, and I came back to Munich again, and when I was in Munich, again I had those attacks of wanting to destroy my physical life. And every once in a while I would somehow take an elevator and get up all the way to a high building, and I really stood there really by, on the edge of a window, and or even sat on this shelf, and but somehow I just didn't do it, fortunately. And Michael, who I was sort of in continuous contact with, he told me after all this was over, every once in a while he said that, yes, I saw you there in my mind, trying to jump down from some high building, and I just tried to take your hand and stop you from that, and try to show you there is another way. And of course, which I didn't hear in those moments, but I really believe this is so, because he really had the intention to help me, and to help me all the way through. And this is amazing, because it's a very rare thing that you happen to have a friend and a teacher who is willing to help you all the way through. And I'm deeply grateful for this help of his. And anyway, and I'm also very, very grateful for the help of my wife, who really just endured this terrible depression of mine, even though she was having health problems herself. And then the next sort of next step that happened was that my wife had to go to a hospital herself to have a little foot operation or something for 2-3 days, and I was deadly afraid, really deadly afraid, of being alone for those few days in our apartment there in Munich, and because I really sort of held on to her skirt, really, or hid under her skirt. And well, anyway, but there were very good friends of ours that would take care of me during the daytime, and it was summer, and they drove they drove me out to the country. And after, I don't know, 2 years, most of the time alone or just with my wife in this apartment, or sort of being tied to this apartment, this was like a revelation that there was something like a countryside and cows and farms and people out there and just some easygoing life in beer gardens. And I stayed alone overnight in our little place here in Munich. And then one night after coming back there from the countryside, and I looked at a show on TV. It was a documentary on a tournée of a well-known German musician, and I was so moved by looking at this tournée, because Konstantin Wecker is his name. He was just living his music. And I always had very much liked his music, and he was just living it. And even though he's, I don't know, he's 65 already, but he's just, there was so much music in everything he said and everything he did. And after this documentary, which moved me really to tears, and it poured out of me, that's how I want to live. This is how I want to live. I didn't do the Course in Miracles at that time of my life. But there was this moment where I said to in this night, it was at least 11 or 12 o'clock at night, I said to myself, that's how I want to live, and I want to, not that I'm a musician or anything like that, but I want to just this attitude, to this living attitude, this attitude of wanting to share the music one feels within. And I said to myself in that night, I want to be happy. I want to be happy, and I want to live up to my potential. And I'm sort of a stage man, and I've always been sort of a stage man as an actor, and not that I had to go back to stage or play in plays again, but just sharing this happiness about life. This is what I want to do again. And the really fascinating thing was that this entire depression of mine, which I still was wearing sort of like a black sack over my head, through saying I want to be happy again, and happy independent of how my body feels, or whether I'm healthy or not, or whether the sun is shining, or whether people are nice to me or not, I want to be happy independent of everything. This wiped this depression out of my system entirely. Really entirely. And it was gone. It really was gone. The depression was gone. And I finally went to bed. And when I got up the next morning, this decision I had made, this choice I had made, it wasn't gone. It was just there, just as strong as the night before. And when my wife came back from the hospital, I think one day later or something like that, She couldn't believe her eyes. I still would be hunching around heavily on those crutches, and I still have those nervous pains, but I didn't give a damn anymore, because I said to myself, I want to be happy, and this is what I want to focus on. And this is what I'm what I'm constantly focusing on. And well, what my wife said, well, I have an entirely new man. He's still ill. He still has his nervous pains. He still has to walk on those canes, and he still pees in his pants every once in a while. But he's happy, and this is what I was. I mean, I wasn't always happy when I peed in my pants, but as a matter of fact, sometimes it got me pretty angry. But it didn't get me depressed anymore. It just got me. Sometimes I was sort of sick of peeing in my pants, but. Anyway, when I peed in my pants the last time, which was maybe just 2 weeks ago, as I went shopping in some store, it didn't even get me angry anymore, because I was walking around there with those wet pants, and I said to myself, really, what the hell? This is not gonna stop me from living in this present moment, and from being happy, and from living in the realization that the dear Lord and his happy, good Holy Spirit is always with me. And I got this whole entire situation solved within a rather short time, and soon I would be sitting somewhere drinking a coffee and smoking a cigarette, which I hadn't done for 25 years or so, and just feeling this connectedness to Source, connectedness to the Divine. And what I wanted to share so much with you here today is that and what is so strange, because I changed around my entire sort of day-to-day habit. As I said, I hadn't been smoking for 25 years. I picked up smoking again. As a matter of fact, Michael Osterreich told me, why don't you start smoking again? And so I started rolling cigarettes, and because I thought, well, that would be, maybe that helps me to get these cramps out of my hands, which it did. And by the way, I like it, and I don't smoke much, but the few cigarettes I smoke a day, I enjoy them very, very much, and together with the coffee or what have you. And that was one thing. And what else did I change? I changed my sleeping habit, or that actually changed sort of by itself. When I was so depressed, I would only want to sleep, just sort of pull this blanket over my head and not hear anything, see anything. I think many of you really know that, and I slept for hours on end, which was such a stupid thing actually to do, because this is not very good for the entire nervous system of the body. And all of a sudden I realized, well, 5 or 6 hours of sleep, that's actually plenty. And then I realized, well, I really just love to get up early, like 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, and just to sit out on the porch and have my first coffee and a cigarette, and just realize, well, I'm sitting there and I'm not alone, because the dear Lord is here with me. And I can just close my eyes and sort of dive into this feeling of not being alone. This is this feeling of not being alone. It has become so strong within me, and it is what we truly are. We never are alone. Even if our bodies sit alone somewhere in a room, we are not alone. The whole entire spiritual world is there with us, and the dear Lord is there with us too. And well, then after I had overcome this depression and this belief in being somebody who has a very, very, very serious disease, I just started picking up the Course in Miracles again, and I really, I read it with completely new eyes, and I was so thankful for this beautiful work of it's a work of art, actually. It's so musical. The Course in Miracles is such a musical thing, and it's so helpful, and there is so much joy in it, and there is no heaviness in it whatsoever. He just shows us. It just shows us how we create our own heaviness, and how we can stop that. And this is what the Course in Miracles says over and over again: stop making yourself heavy, stop making yourself sick, stop thinking yourself sick. And this is what Jesus tells us constantly, and he says, start realizing that you're only projecting things that you're afraid of into a future that isn't even here. You're afraid of some prognosis that some doctors tell you. Why are you afraid? Because you believe that you're just a body. And this is what you are not, and what we are not. We are not bodies. Of course, we have bodies, and we have to take care of them well, but we are not bodies, we are spiritual beings. And by the way, this is something that Michael Osterreich once, when we were in some city there in Germany, I think it was Mülheim or something, and he was about to start his seminar, and he would constantly in between talk with me and try to cheer me up some way or another, which was pretty damn difficult. And he gave me this straight look in the eyes, and he said, you know, Christoph, what you really have to realize finally is you are a spiritual being. And that was several years ago, several years before I turned this switch around. And at that time, I didn't understand a word he was talking about. What does that mean, I'm a spiritual being? I didn't have any idea what that could be. But then, after I really pulled the happiness trigger, this legendary night there, almost 3 years ago, and said, I want to be happy again. That's when I started to realize what he was talking about, because this, the insight that we can do that, it is somewhere maybe hidden deep down in the recesses of our selves, but it is there. The happiness is there within us, and the health is there within us, and it's just when we start to focus on that, and to focus on that entirely, that we realize we are spiritual beings. Because this happiness, of course, this happiness is—it's stupid to be happy because the weather is because the sun is shining, or because you buy a pair of new shoes, or because you get a good lover or something like that. It's because it is so, it's nothing that that remains. It's nothing that remains. It all goes down the drain eventually. Maybe it lasts a year, maybe until the pair of shoes is torn, or until the relation goes kerplunk again, or until it rains again. But it doesn't stay. It's impossible, because this is the world of yin and yang and up and down and happy and low and dark and light and all this black and white stuff. But this, our souls, happiness is absolutely independent of that. It is independent of whether we lie on our deathbed, whether we're dead sick or not, whether we're just happy as a lark and running around somewhere in the mountains or climbing mountains or doing mountain biking or whatever. It is absolutely independent of that. So to be sick is really not a big advantage for discovering this, that our souls are happy. That was my personal path, and hopefully not so many people have to suffer so tremendously to finally realize that. You can just maybe take it from the horse's mouth. It's the truth. We are happy spiritual beings, and if you don't have the capacity to feel that, or if there are too many doubts, and then a very, very good trick that we can learn through the Course in Miracles is to hand those doubts over to our source. Really, somebody said that here on this thing that I'll just look for it. Yeah, Jesus said he cannot remove fear from my mind. Hazel 91 said that. Jesus said he cannot remove fear from my mind. Why? Why is that so? Of course he can't remove fear from my mind. Because each and every one of us are free beings. Jesus, if we pray and say, "Oh Jesus, please take this fear away from me," then the only thing you'll hear from him is he'll say, "Well, okay, then hand it over to me." This is what he'll say. But you decide to hand it over to me. That's when you start to control your fears. Jesus, that's the meaning of that sentence. Jesus cannot control our fears. We have to control them, which means we have to be in at least so much control over our fears that we decide, okay, now, in this moment, I'm going to hand over all this crappy fear thinking of mine into the hands of someone who really knows better, into the hands of the Holy Spirit, into the hands of the dear Lord or of Jesus. Do you get that? There is this decision. And this decision we have to make. Otherwise, we will never be able to control our fears. And, by the way, I was talking about this happiness trigger. And it was not only the happiness trigger that I pulled this night. There was actually two things that I did in this night, when I think of it closely. I said no to all this rotten fear. I said no to all this entire disease thinking of mine. To all these thoughts, oh my God, maybe it's going to get worse, and maybe it's going to get worse, and maybe I'm going to die one day. And everybody says it's going to get worse, and the doctors don't have any remedy for that. And they know it's such a progressive thing. And all those thoughts I said no to, and said no to them very, very deliberately and decidedly and strongly. So I said no to this disease thinking of mine, which I had cultivated over decades, and I said yes to happiness thinking, to independent happiness thinking, absolutely independent happiness thinking. And this is a capacity each and everyone in each and every situation we might experience has. I'm absolutely certain of this. And the Course in Miracles says it over and over and over again. So, yeah. So just be very, very, how does the Course say it? Vigilant. Be vigilant. Only for God and His kingdom, it says somewhere. Be vigilant only for God and His kingdom. Which means, stop putting your vigilance on to your disease. Stop thinking, oh my God, now this is hurting and it didn't hurt yesterday, and what's going to hurt tomorrow? This is vigilance on the disease, for the disease. But it's vigilance for just nothing, because vigilance we should only be vigilant really for the divine, for this love flow of life, for this healing flow of life, for this happiness flow of life. That's what we have to really be vigilant for. Everything else is not worth to be vigilant for. It's just worth really kicking it out of our system. And then what I also wanted to share is a very fascinating thing, because Michael Osterreich, when he, after he realized that I had sort of gotten over the over this disease and started to enter happy lands again, he said to me, you know, Christoph, how much you had actually helped me in my own healing. Because he had been very ill himself. He had had several heart attacks. He had had some nervous disease, neuroborreliosis or something like that. And really his body was aching. And every once in a while, although he never, he hardly ever talked about it. And he said, what really helped me was that when I was feeling sick, I was thinking of you and thinking of you being healed. Really, and this is something so precious, to get our attention away from our own disease and put our attention onto the health of somebody else who we think of, or who we know of, or who we don't know of, doesn't make any difference, but who we wish health, who we just send some happy thoughts to, some happy intentions to. So, and to end this, I would like to remind you and me of a lesson from the Course, which is a beautiful, beautiful lesson, and it's very, very profound and deep, and it's lesson 137, and it reads, when I am healed, I am not healed alone. When I am healed, I am not healed alone. This is exactly what I was talking about with Michael. His health came forth through his helping me to get healthy again. Just like I'm trying to help people now with MS or with depressions or with what have you, to get this one very, 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 very little thing there in our minds, to get that straight. There is a happiness trigger that is in each and every one of us, and we can pull it anytime we choose to do so. There is no preparation necessary for that. Absolutely none. there is just the willingness necessary and perhaps the belief that this might work, that I can pull this trigger. And just to trigger it, just to pull it. And don't start saying, oh well, you made it all this and it was so difficult and all the things you've gone through, and but I'm not so far and you're much farther than I am, and this is all bullshit, really. And just be very vigilant in your minds when you have those thoughts, because they just try to ensure that the disease and the unhappiness goes on in your life experience. And it's not God doesn't want you to be thinking that way. God wants us to think in terms of ease, in terms of lightness, in terms of happiness, in terms of health, in terms of easiness on yourselves, on the world. Non-hypocrisy. He wants us to stop all this judgment thinking and to start to be happy again, and we are choosing the time. God doesn't choose the time. God doesn't do such things, because His mercy is flowing constantly. And people who claim that, oh well, God gives both the good and the bad, they are mistaken. It's a very, very common belief, but those people are mistaken through wrong religious beliefs. God doesn't give both the good and the bad. God only gives the good. He only gives the good. He only gives health. He only gives abundance. He only gives life. He only gives love. He only gives power. So, and it's only ourselves, each and every one of us, who can either choose to activate that right here and right now, or not, and still delay it. It's really superfluous to delay being a happy person. It's superfluous to delay being healthy. It's superfluous to delay being powerful. Okay, my very dear listeners, I think my time is up now. I thank you very much for listening to all of this, and oh yes, Heidi says, yes, we got to realize that taking a body was self-destructive, and you got to let it go, and being the I am. Yes, of course, taking a body was not self-destructive, because we can't destroy ourselves. It was self-limiting. It was absolutely self-limiting to think we are bodies. But what we can do now is to let really Holy Spirit take over. Give our bodies to the Holy Spirit, to the Divine, and let the Divine extend the I Am through our bodies. So it's not, I Am is not on some cloud somewhere, it's right here and now. So it's not a question of really avoiding the body, it's a question of being right here in our bodies, and be very well aware of them, but to really know that we are spiritual beings, and to choose the right teacher. And the Holy Spirit is the right teacher. So that's it for today. Thank you very much for listening, and I would very much like to enjoy talking with you. Same place, same station in a week. Okay, bye-bye.